I'm so glad you come tonight. I told you that we were going to have a different Bible study tonight to try to explain something and help you understand what the Bible has to say about something that is, I think, been brought up a lot lately and will continue to as time goes on about the subject of cremation. I could think of a lot better things to talk about, but I know I've talked about this before. And again, tonight, though, I want to talk to you about it a little bit. And so I hope that you'll have an open heart and mind. Let's just let the Lord touch our hearts about it. Amen? And amen? Oh, okay. All right. Well, would you rather not the Lord touch your heart about it? Is that how we want to be? If that's so, you might as well go out the door now. But I believe that we can get something from the Word of God this evening. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And as you find it there, let's go to verse 1. Let's stand for a few moments and we'll get into this lesson here tonight. I'll give you something at the end, pass out to you. But if you'll listen carefully tonight, just follow along as I read to you the first five verses, the first four verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. You all believe that? All right, but notice what happened then after he died, according to the Scriptures, verse 4. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Now, I know tonight I'll probably say buried, and you will say buried. And that's all right. You talk funny in Pennsylvania, all right? And how many of you say buried? You do. You won't admit it. That's the problem there. You won't admit it. I'll tell you what, but everybody knows it's buried, as in Indiana talk. Roof or roof. Okay. Well, you're going to be a hard group to get along with here this evening. And you may be seated. But if I do say it different than the way you pronounce it, I beg your forgiveness on it, all righty? And we'll be all right. I think we'll all know what I'm talking about. What I'm about to teach tonight is something that has been on my heart and something I had to deal with. I've had to deal with quite a few times. And what I'm about to say tonight is not to try to hurt anybody. You may have different ideas about what we're talking about. And you may have other plans or things that's happened in your own families and that. But my intention is not to hurt anybody. And actually, every time I preach, my intention is not to hurt anybody. My intention is to help. And I believe the Bible can always help us. And that's one of the things that I believe in the ministry is, and as a pastor, is what you want to do is help. You've got to preach some hard sermons sometimes because the hard sermons help us. Now, the nice soft ones help us, too. But there's sometimes we need it. We need a good kick. Sometimes we need a pat on the back and arms wrapped around, a hug or something like that. I'm not going to hug you tonight. But sometimes we need different kinds of sermons, but they're really to help us. And tonight what I'm doing is I'm trying to help you. Now, here's the thing. You may be here tonight and say, well, preacher, I already know what I believe about this. Well, that's great. But you know what? We need to get past us and realize we can be a blessing and a help to someone else. Our lives touch other people. And you think about it, our world's such a mess. One of the reasons why is because God's people won't open their mouth. They won't spread the gospel, won't tell people about what the Bible says. We just kind of like, well, we don't want to offend anybody. But it's amazing the world is not afraid to offend us. They're willing to say anything they want to. But what we have to say is something that is true. And so I want you to pay tonight again. You may say, well, I just don't need this. But if you were put in the spot, somebody came to you and said, is it all right to cremate? You might be able to say this. You say, well, no, I don't think it is. Why? The Bible tells us we ought to be able to give an answer. We need to give an answer for what we believe. We need to know what we believe. And tonight we're going to look at some scripture. We're going to see what the Bible has to say about this. Now, tonight, maybe some of the things that I'll say will be new to some people. You say, "Preacher, I never really thought about it." I talked to a woman not long ago, and she said, and she said about cremation. I said, "Well, you know, the Bible doesn't talk about that." And I explained to her just in a few sentences what I'm going to give you tonight. And she said this, "I never thought of that. I never thought about that." And so tonight, you know, maybe there's folks here who say, "Well, I already know what I believe." You may be for it. You may be against it. You may say, "You know, I never heard these things before." But the thing is, it's not only for our own good, for us that are in here, because I believe probably most of us will agree with everything. If not everybody will agree with what I'm going to say tonight. But the thing is, to help us to have an answer for those that are outside, those in our family. Because, you know, it's appointed that a man wants to die. We're all going to die someday. We need to understand about life, but we also need to understand about death. Of course, eternal life. But even when it comes to this part of burial. And so tonight I'm going to share with you a few things. Now, there may be folks, you may have had cremation happen in your family. And again, I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm not. You may have done that out of ignorance, didn't know, or you were innocent. You just said, "Well, I never knew these things." And I don't believe you're going to be in trouble for that because you didn't know. But here's the thing. We can know because we have a Bible. And tonight I'm going to share with you what the Bible has to say. This is not biterology, all righty? What this is what the Bible has to say about burial or cremation. And my hope tonight is this, that we will take, I believe, biblical instruction and decide this, that we will follow the Word of God. You know, I've heard people, I hate to say this, but I've heard people say this before, "I don't care what the Bible says, I believe." Well, you don't care what the Bible says. And the Bible does talk about, it does not say cremation. We'll see this in the message here. But we're going to see the Bible, I believe, shows us something that's very, very important. Now, many times people think, and there's a lot of folks today, and probably more than ever in America, where people have accepted cremation. It's something that's become acceptable to so many. But the question would be, not is it acceptable to man, but is it acceptable unto God? Is this something that God is pleased with? And so I hope tonight that we'll allow the Scriptures to adjust our mind and our heart and our feelings even to the point that we'll be submissive unto the Word of God. Say, "Preacher, I just, you know, this is what my parents always taught, or this is what I've always believed." You know, I find out a lot, many times, parents have been wrong before. And what I believed before sometimes was wrong. You say, "Well, how do you know what's right?" We got the truth. We have the Word of God, and we could go to it. So I believe that God did not give us every piece of information that we can know. I believe that, you know, we look, and I think if you study and you know the whole Bible, you'll still not know everything about God and really what's going on. God is so great. God is so, I mean, you think about the infinite knowledge and wisdom of God. You think about who He is, and then we think about us. We can never comprehend and understand everything that God does, and so we, by faith, trust Him in what He says. And therefore, I think we've got to do the same thing about when it comes to burial or cremation. So God does not show us everything. In fact, I have to say this. The Bible doesn't say anywhere, "Thou shalt not cremate." Well, that would have made it a whole lot easier, maybe, if he had put it that way. But he didn't say that. But that doesn't mean that it's still right to cremate. And I'll share with you about that. But I don't believe that he never said that. But we've looked into the Word of God. In fact, the oldest book they tell us of the Word of God is the book of Job. And the book of Job tells us something about the body. Look at Job chapter 19. And we're going to turn to some different scriptures because, again, I want you to know this is not what I just think, but I've spent hours looking and studying about this, and I've done it for years I have, and then just getting ready for this message here, putting things together. Job chapter number 19, and let's go down to verse number 25. Now, if you have a hard time finding some of the scriptures, just don't miss it by looking maybe to something else. Listen to what I read here. The Bible says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin, worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." Now think about this. He said that the worms will destroy the flesh, this body. Now that doesn't say fire, does it? So what's that having? This is what it's all about. The oldest book in the Bible, we read about this person here dying. That we understand that the worms were destroying that body. Even fact of the matter is, when we get baptized, we understand. We look in the New Testament about baptism, and a person is baptized in the water. They're not sprinkled. You don't find anywhere in the Bible where it teaches sprinkling. They don't do that. The Bible talks about baptism as a picture of the what? Of the death, the burial. Well, not the burning. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what the picture is there when we get baptized. Publicly, we're telling everybody, giving testimony of what happened in my life. I accepted Christ my Savior. I'm getting baptized, showing everybody what happens. I take a person, I baptize them, and I say, buried in the likeness of his death. They go under that water, and then what happens? They rise back up out of there. Boy, it's a good thing we rise up out of it. If not, we drowned, amen. What happened? Down in that water, we rise back out. Hey, one of these days, we're going to rise up out of here too. But in the meantime, God, I believe, is what baptism is, a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You can't get past that word burial. You can't get past about burying. It's in the Word of God. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. And we look here in verses 19 and 20. These are familiar verses to us, but think about it as we think about cremation. All right, the Bible says, "What know ye not that your what? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your what? In your body and in your spirit, which are whose? God." So it belongs to God. And what God's showing us here, that this body is very important because it was bought with a price, and also is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We got saved, the Holy Spirit came to live within us. That's why we're not to abuse this temple. We need to make sure that we treat it right. But why? Because we've been bought with a price. Jesus Christ died on the cross and bought us. You say, "Well, preacher, it only matters about my soul." Well, I believe your soul matters. I believe your spirit matters. But so does your body. You know what we use to glorify God? Our bodies. And the thing was, we've been bought with that price. And he said, "Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit and in God, which are God's." So we understand that this body of ours, and that's what we're talking about here tonight, it has an ownership. I don't own it. God owns it. God bought me by Jesus Christ paying the price. And he paid the price, didn't he? He paid that price, so we belong to him. And so I understand that there's an ownership, but there's also the sanctity of the body. The body is special to the Lord. Well, I think we can understand that when we stop and think that the Holy Spirit indwells in us. You know, would you have a problem with people defacing the church house? I would. I would have a real problem if I came and saw people writing cuss words on the outside of this building. That would bother me to death. And I would be so upset about it. And why? Because this is the church. Understand something. Jesus didn't die for brick and mortar. He died for you and I. And what happens, I think he's saying, listen, you need to respect the body that has been bought with that price. Now, for years, cremation has not really been that popular. In some areas, I guess we could go back and say in other groups of people throughout the ages. But in America, cremation has not been a big deal for many, many years. It's not really been something that is popular. But I believe that it is now becoming more and more popular. Every time, I don't know if you notice this, maybe just old people notice this, but every time you go past a funeral home, it says funeral home and crematory. Now, why do they do that? Because they push cremation. Now, here's the thing. I believe the main reason people are going to cremation is this. It's cheaper. And you want to know? It is. It is cheaper. All right? So then let's do it because it's cheaper. Well, let me tell you this. If you have that kind of thinking, next time you go to Walmart, shoplift. Cheaper. Right? Go in there and get a 52-inch TV and go drag it out like they're doing today in America. Go dragging it out and say, but it's cheaper. Oh, well, then that's okay. Now, every one of us in here know it's wrong to steal. But it's cheaper. It's cheaper not to go to church. Don't have to pay gas. It'd be cheaper to stay home, wouldn't it? So that makes it right. Don't go to church. It makes it right to steal because it's cheaper. Well, all of us would agree and say, well, no, that's wrong. And probably most everybody you talk to about this would say, yeah, that's wrong. Yet the answer we give about cremation, I say we, many people do, is this, but it's cheaper. But it's cheaper. But you see, we're not to decide something is right by the cost. We decide whether something's right by the Word of God. You know, many times in life, things will cost us. You ever heard the statement before, you get what you pay for? Yeah. It costs. And if there's something that's worth something to us, we're willing to pay the price. And so I have to say, yes, their argument when they say that cremation is cheaper, the answer is exactly that. Yes, it is. It's cheaper, but cheaper never makes anything right. Burial is founded in the Word of God. We find that Jesus was not cremated. Jesus was buried in a tomb. All right, you say, well, here's the thing. He was going to rise again. Yes, he was going to rise again. We're going to rise again someday, too. So people oftentimes will say, well, you know, what's wrong? Is it wrong to be cremated? That's kind of the wrong question to ask. What we ought to ask is this. Is cremation acceptable unto God? There's the thing that really gets it. People always want that. We want to know the right and wrong. And I understand that. But I believe also we need to ask the question, is it acceptable unto God? I don't know about you, but I want to be acceptable unto God. I want God to say, that's what I want. I look to the Lord, and I think many times we do this, don't we? At least we should. We pray and we say, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. But here's our problem. As long as it doesn't go against my plans. We ought to be saying, God, I'll do whatever you want and want to be acceptable in the Lord. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. So we've got to look at this cremation here and see, is this something that is acceptable unto the Lord? Is this something that God is pleased with? Well, let's go to the Bible and let's look at a few things. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. First Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse number 21. The Bible says here in verse 21, and we'll look through down through verse 23. Verse 21, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Now, verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. All right? Now, it'll stop right there for a moment. If I was to roll up a piece of white paper, and I hold it between these two fingers, and I light the end of it. Am I smoking a cigarette? But it gives the appearance of it. I say, so what? So you see me going down through Martinsburg one day, and I'm there. I'll put it in my left hand because I'm driving. And what happens, I have it hanging out the window so I can tap all the ashes off. And I honk at you and wave at you and go, oh, there's my pastor. And someone goes, he's smoking a cigarette? No, he just likes to look like it. The Bible says we're to abstain and stay away from the appearance of evil. I remember back in when we were kids and Halloween, there people used to give out candy cigarettes. You know, I got those. I thought, man, how wicked are these people? And my mom, when we would go home and my mom would look and she'd see, well, you had candy cigarettes. She'd give me those. I thought, you're not smoking them. But she said, give them to me. I said, what's wrong? She goes, you're not even going to have the candy that looks like that. Well, I'm thankful mom was that way. We're to abstain from all appearance. We're not to look like it's something that is evil. So we're abstain. Now, let's go to verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and, what? Body. Now get this. This is interesting. Preserved, blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we find that we're to abstain from that appearance of evil, and we're sanctified, we're to be sanctified wholly. That means completely. So and then he talks about the body as preserved. I thought that was rather interesting. He used the word preserved there. You know the word embalm? We find the word embalmed is found three times in the Word of God. The word embalm is found one time in the Bible. And you say, well, that's only one time. I understand. But I think, again, as we look to the Word of God, we put all these things together, we're going to see what God says about the body, about the burial, whether it be burial or cremation. But it's interesting that the word embalmed comes from a Latin word. And that word embalmed means this, filled with aromatic plants for preservation, preserved from loss or destruction. So whenever we die, and I don't want to get into it, it's none of it is pretty, but they embalm the body. It is to preserve. When we come to the church or we come to the funeral home for the viewing, we look, the body has been embalmed. Now sometimes, I don't know if they still do it, but sometimes they didn't embalm. But what happens? They embalm. That embalming is to preserve. And the reason is, we'll get into this a little bit here later, but one of the reasons is for the family. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I oftentimes say this, we will not be here for our own funeral, but the body, the house that we live in, will be here for those that are left behind. And so there's the preservation there that we're talking about. Now understand that was preserved from loss or destruction. And let me ask you this, being embalmed, does that destroy the body? No, it preserves it. Now, it will eventually go back to dust, and we'll see. But here's the thing, it preserves it. Now, cremation, does it preserve the body? Destroys the body. So our body was created by God for a reason, and that was to house our soul and our spirit. So God created man's body for that reason, and so that it could be the indwelling place of the Holy Spirit. I've done a lot of studying about this, and I find nowhere in the Bible is it proving or acceptable about creation, about cremation of the creature, of the person. Nowhere do we find the Bible where it is something that is acceptable unto God. I know right away what happens, and I think the devil's behind it all. He said, but it's cheaper. And I know we may even get this point too, say, well, I don't really care. It's my body. It doesn't matter. I won't be here. But the body still means something because we've been bought with that price. We are body, soul, and spirit, aren't we? That's all bought by the Lord. So burial is a ceremony. For what? For our families and our friends to kind of get to this place where we could say, I will see you again. Many times at a funeral, most of the time I'll say this, that we're really not saying goodbye. We're saying we'll see you later. And that's why we have a funeral. We have a funeral so that for the family. Again, your funeral will not be for you. So get that out of your head, all right? It's not for you. You won't be here. But it will be for the loved ones that are left behind. Sometimes I think we need to get a caring once again for quit being so selfish and think about those that are left behind. If you were to stop and think of what happens to a body when they cremate it, you wouldn't even want to think about it, and I'm not even going to get into it. But if you were to read about it, and you can study about it, I'm sure you would say, I would never want that to be done to my loved one. You say, but that's just the body. It's going to go to dust. Yes, but it never says anything in the Bible about burning it, other than some places, and I'll show you. But what burial is, it's placing the body back into the ground from which God created man. God took from the ground and created man, and what happens? We find that we go back to dust. That was God's plan for us. And so burial really is this. Burial is a way for us, even in our death, to show people we have faith. You say, faith about what? Faith in the resurrection. Faith that the Bible says in the body shall rise, and this body been the temple of the Holy Spirit purchased with that price. It shows our faith in God, even in burial. I can't say cremation shows faith in God. The fact of the matter is, I believe cremation is what I will call a feigned word. A feigned word. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter number 2. Are you with me tonight? All right. If you're not with me, you'll have to put up with me because I'm going to preach it anyhow, all right? But 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. But there were false, notice that, what kind of prophets? False prophets. But there are false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with vain words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. And when I say it's a feigned word. What it is, cremation is something that is sold to Christians as being an economical burial. That's what feigned is talking about. Many Christians have been sold the goods on that cremation is more economical, and so what happens is it appeals to our flesh rather than our spirit. Again, the cost of something does not determine something being right or wrong. The Bible determines whether something's right or wrong. The fact of the matter is, you'll not find the word cremation in God's vocabulary. It's not found. The word cremation is a Latin word that means to burn up. You say, where did it originate at? It originated with the Greek pagans. The Roman pagans began to be adopted by them. And even many non-Christian cultures today burn the bodies of their dead. Now, I oftentimes have said that you can always find someone that will agree with you. You look hard enough and far enough, you'll find somebody that will agree with you. But here's the thing. We're not to go by what Dr. So-and-so or Brother So-and-so or my mom said. We've got to go by what the Word of God says. You see. He said, preacher, you make it sound like it's cut and dried. It is. Because we look to the Word of God. We've got to set aside our feelings and our pocketbooks and see what God has to say. Cremation is the process of generating temperatures as high as 1,800 degrees. It will burn the body until it becomes ashes, and the bones many times don't burn. Then they crush the bones. And I won't go into detail of the stuff of what goes through, but if you were to watch it, you'd probably have nightmares for a long time. And that's a loved one. And that's a body that Jesus Christ died for. It belongs to Him. Would you go and burn your Bible tonight? Would you deface your Bible? Would you go and say, well, this Bible, I'm just going to throw it in this, in that heap of trash here. I'm just going to burn my Bible. You probably wouldn't want to do that. We have a body. You know, I just don't understand sometimes why people don't, why they wait till the last resort is to look into the Bible instead of going to the Bible first. You say, well, I'll call the funeral director. Do you understand something? Bless their hearts. I wouldn't want their job. I'm thankful they're there. I wouldn't want their job. But here's the thing. They're there to make money. And probably, you know, I know they can make more money in having a regular funeral, although a lot of the cost is in the casket and everything else too. But they're not necessarily going to give you what the Bible says. Most funeral directors will give you what they feel you want. So if you go to a funeral director and ask them, then you say, well, I just think cremation, you know, it'll be cheap. And they go, yeah, it is. Here's the thing. We're not to go to them. We're to go to the Word of God. What's the Bible say? So cremation is something that has its roots in paganism. And those who do not believe in eternal salvation, go with me to Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 19. And once we're there at that, we'll turn to another book, another chapter in the book of Genesis. But in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 19, and here again, it talks about the body being back to the dust. It says, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. He returned on the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. That is the natural process of the body breaking down to the dust, returning to what it came from. Fire does not do that. You say it brings it to ashes. Exactly right. But it does not to the dust there. All right. Now, you may say, well, you're getting a little bit too technical on it. Go with me to Genesis chapter number 47. Genesis chapter number 47, verse number 28. The Bible says in verse 28, Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the whole age of Jacob was 147 years. Imagine his birthday cake, huh? And the time drew nigh that Israel must die. That's him. And he called his son Joseph and said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, put, I pray thee, thy hand unto my thigh, and deal kindly and truly with me. Bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt. Now, he didn't say, don't bury me. He said, don't bury me in Egypt. But he did tell him to bury him. Verse 30, but I will lie with my fathers, and thou shalt carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burying place. And he said, I will do as thou hast said. So what we find here, that Jacob said, listen, I'm going to die, but I want you to take me and I want you to bury me in the burying place. He didn't say burn me up, did he? He said bury me. And so in the same thing, and of course, you know, when I think about Egypt, he didn't want to be buried in Egypt. Why? Egypt was a picture of the world. He said, I don't want to be identified with that. I want to be identified with God. And he said, don't bury me that way. Bury me in the burying place. And what happened? His son said, I will do that. Again, when Joseph did as his father, Jacob, and he wanted his body born or buried, look at Genesis chapter number 50 and verse number 25. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. And Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they burned him. No, what'd they do? They embalmed him, and he was put in a jar, in a coffin in Egypt. Now we chuckle about that, but the thing is, an urn is not a coffin. You don't put bodies in a jar. Put them in a coffin. That's why we have coffins. Said, preacher, you know what? What's the big deal about it? Well, I'm just giving you a Bible. That's what they did. And Jesus was wrapped, and they took those that myrrh and frankincense, and they put on him, and then what happens? Wrapped him there in those cloths, and that was for his burial. There was no burning there. But you see, there was burning, even talked about in the Bible. You see, burning in the Bible was for punishment. Now, when I got saved, I had my sins forgiven. Burning is for punishment. The Bible says, it talks about in the days of Amos that there was a pronouncement upon the pagan practice that involved in burning of the bones. Let me read to you Amos chapter 2, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Moab and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because he burned the bones of the king of Edom into lime. There was punishment for the burning of the bones. He said, well, you know, preacher, that's Old Testament stuff. But here's the thing. We find out from the very beginning there in the book of Genesis, where we found that the body goes back, where God said goes back to the dust. It never did talk about the burning of that body. But here we find, and these people in the book of Amos, because of their transgression, what happened? They burned the bones of the king of Edom. What did God do as punishment then? Amos chapter 2, verse 2 says, but I will send fire upon Moab, and it shall devour the palaces of Keroth, and Moab shall die with tumult, with shouting, and the sound of the trumpet. God said, because of what you did, I am sending fire upon you. It was for punishment. Folks, if we're saved, we will not go to that place of fire. That place of fire is called hell. It still burns with fire. I don't care what they want to say, that some of the preachers out there today say, well, we don't believe it's a burning fire. It's a burning fire, and they will find out someday that we were right. I think about Achan. Remember him? Joshua chapter 7, verse 15. It shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire. That was not a medal given to them. That was a punishment there. And he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. So fire was there as the punishment. And when our loved ones die, we're not to go and celebrate a punishment. We're to celebrate life. And that life is that person there that's passed away. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I know you won't remember all the verses here, but at least you're getting some truth here that'll help you. It says, 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Oh, I remember seeing that in a nursery wall one time. Amen. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed. That's a good idea in a nursery. It's not talking about changing diapers. And the sleep here is talking about the death. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Let me go on, verse 54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Now get this. O death, where is thy sting? O fire, where is the victory? Is thy victory? No, it doesn't say, O fire. What does it say? O grave, where is thy victory? Well, you know, those things I don't need to worry about. Oh, yeah, I think we need to worry. We're putting everything together. Well, I've showed you Old Testament and New Testament verses tonight. Now, when I talked about sleep, we all sleep, there's no such thing as soul sleep. You know, people, they're not sleeping in that grave. When we talk about sleep, it talks about the body that's laying there. It's the body that is at rest. Here people talk R.I.P., RIP, you know, rest in peace. You know, it sounds so wonderful to say that. And what it is, it's not that person is not laying in that casket resting until the resurrection. But the body is. But the soul and the spirit is gone. And so to show what was happening here, he talked about those that are sleeping. In fact, what? The body is at rest. No more pain, no more suffering. At rest. We have something that the world does not have. Go back with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm almost done. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and verse 13 and 14. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, they've died, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. So something different about us that are Christians. When our loved ones die, they go to heaven. That's good. It would bother me if they stayed in the grave. I don't even like to think about the body being in the grave. But from dust to dust. Return to the ground. But here's the thing. They're not there. My mom and dad's in Cherville, Indiana. They're buried in the ground. Their body is. I've only been there like once or twice, I think. You say, man, you ought to go there all the time. Why? They're not there. The body's there, and I understand that. But they're not there. Be absent from the bodies, be present with the Lord. But that burial spot is that testimony that they belong to the Lord. And that one of these days the body will rise. We need to look at death from God's point of view. Here's our problem most of the time. We look at it from our point of view. You know what God's point of view is? Listen to it. Psalm 116, verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Did you hear that? Precious in the sight of the Lord. Why? You know, us saying goodbye, God is saying hello. God's saying welcome home. I'm glad you're here. And one of these days we'll be there with them. Amen. Now, here's the thing. Cremation does not cause a person to go to hell. If you're saved, you are saved eternally. You know, some people are buried at sea because they're out at sea and there's no place to bury them. They bury them in sea. But again, what is it? The burial. It's not the burning. The burial in the water. What happens? That body just rots. But I believe that God could bring that body up out of that sea of the resurrection. And listen to this, a person that's cremated and their ashes are thrown to the wind. I don't think God will have a problem gathering the ashes together. You say, well, then it's okay. You didn't listen to the rest of it, did you? It was not something we should do. It was always a burial unless it was a heathen or the pagans when they burned the body. Or when God punished, it was the burning. No matter what we do, I believe we're to honor the Lord and be obedient to His Word. And tonight I try to share with you some things that will help you to be obedient to the Lord. Now, I don't do funerals for cremations. Again, abstain from all appearance of evil. I think we ought to stay away from doing that, and I won't do a service like that because it's contrary to God's word. Now, I'll be honest with you. I have difficulty in that because I want to help people. But I do not want to help push something that is wrong. I know I won't be understood by everybody. That's all right. But I don't want one day when I stand before the Lord to give an account. I want to say, Lord, I did what I believe your word taught. And what I gave you tonight was what I believe. But I don't believe it because it's what I come up with. I gave you scripture. That's what we started about saying. We need to look to the word of God. So I hope that you'll take these things and use them and help someone else. Maybe tonight you may say, well, you know, I didn't need that. I knew all those things. Well, I'm glad you're smart as you are. I'm glad you knew all those things. But I don't know about you, but that's why we teach soul winning every so often. But there's times we need to brush up so we know what we believe. Because there's somebody that you can help. Every mom and dad needs to know how to deal with your kids about it and how we need to deal. You know, you're going to have family members going to ask you. And a woman one time called me and said, well, my husband wants to be cremated. And I said, and I've told her just a little bit about it. And she said, you know, and I never thought about that and decided not to cremate but bury. I have to say, you know what? Well, thank the Lord. Now, today I want to give you a few things, give you a piece of paper. I'll just read it to you real quick, and then we'll be on our way. A couple of you fellows want to come and pass these out. I think I got one. I know I have one per family, if you could. And just share those there and pass them out. I want to give you something, since we talked about it, just kind of throw at you again real quick. I know it's a little bit later than usual, but call in tomorrow. You can tell them the preacher said that could be 10 minutes late. All right. No, school, same time.
Amen.
Yeah. Anybody got one, like to have one? All right. Let me just read those real quick. I'm not going to preach on these or anything. This is just maybe to help you a little bit. Everybody get one? I have mine. You need one more? Here, I have one. Pam doesn't need it. She's not worried about it. She's going to dump me in a ditch somewhere. All right, notice on that paper it says practical helps. And this is just to give you, this is not scripture, but I think something to help you a little bit. I'm counseling all together right now, all right? Number one, ask the Lord for wisdom to speak to family about death. I think we've already talked about that. Number two, put heaven's home above our earthly home. Understand how important heaven is. Number three, this is important, I think. Write down your wishes for the family members. Now, keep in mind, the family left behind. You won't be there. I said that. Consider their time of grieving. Allow them to have closure. You know, I said before, I remember younger, I'd say, I don't care, just get a big old piano crate, throw me in it, and pitch me out behind the school. But you know what? I was just thinking about myself. I have a wife that needs time for grieving. I need time. I need to make sure there's time for my kids to have grieving. There needs to be time for you to have a party. But there needs to be time of grieving. No, don't be selfish in thinking about yourself. Think about those in your family that can have closure. Have someone that will be in charge of things. Someone that you know will follow through with your wishes. Ask them to pray for the service. Be clear that you want a burial and not cremation. You know, sometimes people just don't know. And talk about it. Number four, let others know of the funeral plans. If you have all this in writing, it makes it easier for those following your wishes and helps others to know it was your last wishes. You know, if you pass away and the family says, well, I think we ought to do this, I ought to do that. You can go back. My mother-in-law, she had it. She was too precise. She had it all written down, who was to preach and everything, and songs to sing and poems to read and everything else. But here's the thing. There was no question what we were going to do at the funeral. Nobody in the family said, well, I don't think Mom would want this. There was no argument about it because they knew what Mom wanted. Wouldn't it be nice just to make it easy for the family? Yeah. It's not about you. All right? How about this one here? Verse number 5, having the service in church. You know, you say, why? Well, church is an important place to the Christian. It ought to be. Ask that your funeral, verse number 6, ask that your funeral be held without conflicting with church service times. I already told my wife, I said, if I die, don't you dare have visitation on Wednesday night. If you do, I will come back and haunt you. You say, but you can't help when you're going to die, but you can help when you bury me. I don't want people to be sitting there standing around looking at me. I want people to be in church. Write it down. Number 6, that was number 6. Number 7, consider who you would want to speak or sing at your funeral. You know, let people know. Number 8, pick out the hymns that you want sung at your funeral and specify any scriptures you would like to read at the funeral. Isn't it always wonderful to know, you know, oh man, Dad always loved this song. Dad wanted this song sung. Well, it just blesses when you sing it then, doesn't it? And you just don't want to answer tonight anything, do you? Number 9, ask that there be a clear Bible presentation of salvation and an invitation given. I promise you this, if I do your funeral, that will happen. If I do somebody else, someone calls, says, hey, you know, I got a relative and they've never been in church and we'd like to have it there. Okay, fine. But I'm telling you right now, I'm going to preach the gospel and I'm going to give the gospel out. I'll be saved and I'll give an invitation for them to raise their hands. Number 10, try to be prepared by a burial plot and finances. An insurance policy for burial at least. You don't have to have $1 million life insurance. Just have something at least. That would, I mean, if you do, that's fine, and put me in on that. But you'd have that. But have enough at least to pay it so that the family doesn't have to worry. You know? Try to be prepared. And you don't have to be extravagant, number 11. There's a wide range of prices for caskets and added-on things by the funeral home. Be wise. You say, well, it costs more, but you know, there's some areas you don't have to have. The casket's only going to be there for a few minutes in that service, and then it's going to be put in a vault and then put in the ground. You don't have to spend all kinds of money. You're welcome to. That's fine. But, you know, if money is a problem, then just don't be extravagant. You know, like I said, the last two words in that number 11, be wise. And this one here, I don't know. I don't know how big of a headstone you'd have. I don't think you need to have the big one, but I thought about this. It'd be nice to have a verse chosen for your headstone that when someone comes by, they will read and be blessed. You can be a blessing even after you're dead, because probably you weren't when you were alive. You sat like a bump on a log on a Wednesday night. So there you go. That's free. You take that home with you. And again, have to do any of those things. These are just ideas to help you a little bit and help the family that's left behind. But the things I gave you here out of the Word of God is not my idea. It's what the Bible says. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time tonight. Lord, I pray you bless the folks. Lord, that you do something in our hearts, and Lord, help us to understand. I don't know. I think everybody's on the same page, but if not, I pray that they would get on the right page, realizing that, Lord, you're in control. And Lord, you've given us the plan for after death, for burial. Lord, we understand that fire was a punishment. So, Father, speak to our hearts with our heads bowed tonight. Maybe you're here. Maybe God spoke to your heart about it. Praise the Lord. But maybe you're here tonight and you said, preacher, I don't even know where I'd go if I died. Do you know for sure you're saved? Well, if anyone here tonight say, preacher, if I died right now, I don't know that I'm saved, but I'd like to know it. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up, anyone tonight? We're going to give an invitation, as always. You need to come pray about something. You're more than welcome. Come pray. But if you're not saved, come and let us know. We'll show you how you can be saved. Maybe you just ought to thank the Lord tonight that you're able to learn something from the Word of God about a very important subject that is out in front of us all the time now. Father, bless this invitation. I pray your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand?